And we're back for another episode of Smell You Later, your favorite podcast.
Hello, girls.
Hello, ladies.
It is such a beautiful day today.
I know. It's like the precipice of spring where I'm like, oh, so I don't have to freeze my ass off.
I know. Outside. It's so nice. I mean, it's like such a better mood. I was walking here. And I was just like, it's such, I mean, it's kind of a gross day. It's gloomy and wet. It rained all morning, but now it's nice. And I'm just like, ugh. Sometimes it's so nice to like be alive.
Right.
You know?
I was thinking that as I was alive, as I am always alive, I have never not been alive to my knowledge.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what?
I've had some close calls.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? This is fine.
Yeah. I've had a pretty insane last 2 weeks in like every way possible.
Your life is an overhaul.
Oh my God. Completely.
Yes.
Yeah. So having this like nice little break in the weather is like cool. On a Saturday, we're being young. We're filming at a weekend. I would call it filming as if this is like filming. The hills.
We're filming sound on a weekend.
Yes. There's like a lot of things happening in fragrance right now. I can say this because this will be out by then. We have the Boy Smells Fine Fragrance launch, which is going to be announced very soon. We have the Dolly Parton scent. And there's a ton of shit going on. It's very exciting.
I know.
I also feel like more people are talking about scent, which is really exciting for
Surprisingly,
me.
Surprisingly, yes.
Yeah.
And I've noticed more articles about scent in general, not even just about fragrance, just scent in general. Yep. And I can't help but wonder, our influence.
I know. Our power. Our minds.
Clearly.
But you also made a good point that like, you know, quarantine and, you know, I think just like with our literally the past year of different surroundings and or the same surroundings, I guess, rather, we're paying a lot more attention to things like that because we have nothing else to pay attention to. So I guess
Pretty
it
much.
Doesn't shock me.
We've run out of things to complain about. So now we're like, you know what? I fucking miss smelling stuff.
Yeah. I want to smell things.
I want to smell.
I think it's great.
I do too.
I think it's really exciting that people are wearing fragrances for them just hanging around. It's like, well, welcome to our world.
Finally. Welcome. Know? There's enough room for everyone. You
exactly.
can sit with us.
And we're so happy you joined us again.
Yay. I got a really beautiful mailer from Ralph Lauren Fragrances.
And I didn't.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
That's okay. I got some nice fragrances this week too. So
you did that I didn't get.
Did the mailer is gorgeous though. Your house is literally, Sable's apartment is just literally covered in flowers. It looks like Kim Kardashian's wedding.
And soon to be divorced.
And they're all pink. These are like actually gorgeous. I don't even like flowers.
I love flowers and it actually reminded me how much I missed fresh flowers in my house. Mm. So I was like, I should go and get some fresh flowers. And then I like went to the market and I was like, these are expensive. Never mind.
Yeah.
Somebody buy me flowers, please.
Not to be that girl, but I got flowers on Valentine's Day. LOL.
Ooh.
And I was like, people are right about these.
You're like, you know what? I see it now.
Yeah. Like, I get it.
I get it. Flowers I get it.
That again, any sort of like gift or attention, I'm like, yes, more of this, please.
Same. A morsel of attention and affection.
A crumb of attention.
Yum, yum, yum. But speaking of, what are you smelling today, Tynan?
I feel like you always start with me. Is that how it goes?
Okay,
it's fine. Like, I'm fine. I mean, I love talking about
I just myself. Really want to know.
Oh, true. So we know this is a Byredo podcast, but they are soon to, by the time this is out, it'll be out. But I am wearing their new scent, Mixed Emotions.
Ah!
I knew about this, but then I think that I thought I dreamed it. I literally thought I was like, oh, I had a dream that they're putting out a scent called Mixed Emotions. How funny that would be. And then it showed up at my door and I was like,
Wait, you saw the teasers beforehand.
Yeah, right? I did. But I think I saw one sort of like a month back or something. And then I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah, a couple
again.
Weeks ago.
So I was like, oh, that was just a figment. Well, turns out I'm wearing it.
I love the name of it.
Oh my God, I do too.
It's such a good name for a fragrance.
It's so good. It's like kind of Byredo too, don't you think?
Yeah.
So Byredo's Mixed Emotions is sort of low-key inspired by all the mixed emotions that we've all been feeling during the last year of quarantine, and feel however you want to about that. I think it's interesting and like unavoidable. I mean, part of me is like, eek, what a concept. But also we have been dealing with this for so long that of course it's going to make its way down into the art that people are making. In short, the brand says this is a very special launch for Byredo as the brand ethos calls upon the idea of scent harkening back to memory. And this scent is an olfactory representation of the whirlwind of the collective emotions the world has been experiencing over the year, something to bring us all together. So that's that on that. I think it's interesting. I think it's, again, sort of unavoidable as an idea that we'll be seeing more of. The scent itself is, I like it a lot. It's not my favorite Byredo scent, but it's definitely really nice. Both their newer scents, Slow Dance and Mixed Emotions, I think are really nice additions to their collection. While they might not be must-haves for me, this is really cool though, and I think I like it the more that I wear it. Top notes, you have black currant and mate. In the middle, you've got tea and violet leaf. And at the bottom, you have birch and papyrus. I want to say that they said it was smoked papyrus, actually. But so the best I can describe it, like, you really get a lot of that top note of the black currant. There is a dark juiciness to it. There's a lot of tea happening throughout the fragrance. And the birch and papyrus also really sing throughout wear. You know, scents that are like blackberry and wood, I feel like we see sort of a lot of that pairing. This is similar to that, but in like a lighter, nicer way. It definitely has the juiciness and the brightness of the fruit, but then it almost leans incense-y. And while I am obsessed with incense for a billion reasons, it can sort of get in your nose and your brain in a way that is like really wears on you. This does not do that. It's like, it's not earthy, but it's sort of more like mineral. It's really nice. And also a lot of scents like this can often, because of like the ripe juicy fruit and the earthy incense or whatever it's paired with, they can start to wear really heavily. This doesn't. This is a perfect like medium wear. It does wear really consistently. I think it's great. I think it is a really beautiful scent for the fall winter, but also isn't too dark or too heavy to be worn in the warmer months. I mean, Byredo always excites me, and this is no different. I think it's great.
It smelled so much brighter and fresher than I would expect from something called Mixed Emotions.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's not what I thought.
It's a little surprising to me, but in a good way. You know, I think Byredo gives you a lot of depth in a lot of ways in this. While it does have depth, it does have that like that brighter bounciness to it that I guess I'm smelling it right now. Like, will also be good in the hotter months or really whenever you want to wear it. You know what it smells like to me, honestly, is sort of, it has a tinge of like a sour gummy, but in a really good way. I mean, it's got a lot of like earth and depth to it, but there is like, the fruit does lean so sweet and bright at times that it's like sort of piercing.
I don't know.
I like it. Tart. Like in a cool way, in a really enjoyable way that you don't really always get, you know, without it being like too searing or too sweet. Right. It's nice. I think it's nicely balanced and brings some new perspective to things that we have smelled a lot before. Hmm. I'm happy with that. I think people are really going to like it.
I feel like that's one of the scents that people are drawn to based on the name alone.
Oh, the name is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, Mixed Emotions. Yeah.
I think as Byredo continues to grow their brand, their names are getting a little bit cooler and a little bit easier quirkier. To like, almost like not funny, not like clever, or maybe clever is the word, but like, I mean, they're very like palatable, you know, like Slow Dance, Mixed Emotions, like things like that. Whereas like Balde a Freak isn't, you know, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Like they're not as esoteric and like,
exactly. Like, I don't think we're going to see another, you know, name like Black Saffron again.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I really like the names and I really like the naming conventions that they're going with. I think it fits them more as a brand into who the brand keeps growing into with all of these new, you know, all the new Byredo launches with
beauty. Very hypey.
Beauty and that eyeshadow palette and foam cases and et cetera, et cetera. So it's cool.
Yeah.
Huh. I like it.
I was like, I will await in my mail for that to be sent to me.
Meanwhile, Ralph Lauren, where are you at? Sable, what do you smell like today?
I smell like things that smell like other things.
Yeah.
I'm wearing Bond number 9, Tribeca, which smells to me and to you very, very similar to Ariana Grande Cloud.
Very similar.
And to a lot of people in my DMs, apparently very similar to Baccarat Rouge.
Which people also say smells like Cloud.
Okay.
Or Cloud smells like.
Okay. So then that makes sense.
I've actually never smelled Baccarat Rouge. I think I have a candle though. Sunday Riley sent me the Baccarat Rouge candle, which is so, so nice. I'm like afraid to open it though.
Dude, give it a whiff.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never smelled it, but I just remember hearing all this hoopla about it. Mm-hmm. A, because it's like $800.
It's so expensive.
Which immediately my mind is like, no, thank you. And then B, they're like, here's the $800 perfume that all of the influencers are wearing. So automatically I'm like, no, I'm good.
No, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good, man. But you know what? Now there's the curiosity angle. I just want to smell it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to own it. I just want to smell it. So yeah. I can be like, what's the fuss about?
Right.
Is it just that it's $800, which I don't think any fragrance would be that much, but like,
yeah.
Yeah. Tribeca it's billed as an oriental vanilla, which I don't think it is at all. Yeah. I think what drew me to it or what interested me in it were the notes, which is cacao and hazelnut and coffee and cedar, jasmine, caramel, ambroxan and moss. So I was thinking it was going to be very gourmandy and very warm and spicy.
Sticky.
And yeah, like sticky and sweet.
Yeah.
And it's way, way, way lighter than that. I definitely get the ozonic notes from Cloud.
Yes.
Right out the gate.
Yeah.
And it is sweet, but it's not like a deep, sticky, syrupy sweetness. It's like a very light, airy sweetness to me. Mm-hmm. And it's not sweet in a tart way. It is sweet, I will say, in a bit of a candy way.
Yeah.
But I was like very taken aback. And like, I mean, it's a beautiful scent.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. I love wearing it. I think it smells gorgeous, but it's totally not what I was anticipating.
I completely agree with you. So that came out, they sent me the press about that at the beginning of 2020.
Yeah.
And they sent me over a comp of it, like a small sample vial, along with the full bottle of Greenwich, because mm-hmm. Joelle told me that Greenwich smells like Cloud as mm-hmm. well. So I was like, I need to see this. I read the notes for Tribeca with the hazelnut and the cacao and the caramel. And I was like, oh, this is right on my alley.
Yeah.
And then I smelled it. I was like, it's lovely, but it's not that at all. And it oddly smells a ton like Greenwich also, which also smells like Cloud. And yeah, I don't know.
These neighborhoods are just melding together.
I'm not like disappointed at it, but it's certainly not what it bills itself as.
No, definitely not. There is nothing oriental about this.
No. The vanilla doesn't read.
No, I mean, I didn't even get vanilla. Like, same. Yeah.
It's so wild.
I mean, to me, like on me, I get, as I said before, just like sweet, light, candy, airy, ozonic. And I don't know. I feel like this is a very like spring Liberty print Reformation dress.
Yes. I've smelled it alongside Cloud because I wear Cloud so, so often. And I mean, the differences are few and far between. I think Tribeca is like a little bit more like fibrous or something. Mm. Like there's a little, I think
Cloud it's damper.
Cloud's a perfect scent, but I think Tribeca is like a little bit, I don't want to say like more depth. It's just a little heavier in a way. I don't know, but like, goddamn, they're similar.
Yeah. Whatever. I had a bottle of Cloud at Allure on my desk, and I don't know what happened to it.
I'm going to call another one in, so I'll get one for you too.
Okay, yes, please do. Okay. I'm like, I need this as like a reference scent now.
Totally, you do.
Yeah, but again, I'm like, oh, this is very pretty, but at the same time, I was like, it's not what I thought it was, but it was nice.
Yeah, I just want to know how we got here from
get here? Yeah.
Because the build is so good and the scent is so good, but they are not the same thing.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what? Maybe there's another story behind it of like the kinds of cacao used or where, I don't know, what age the hazelnut was. Maybe there's like something about that, because I know different notes, when you use them in different stages of their life or their bloom, will have different scents.
Right.
So perhaps there's a story there, but definitely not an oriental floral.
Yeah, no.
Not oriental vanilla. Not at all. Also, I think it's like $400.
It's bot number nines are not cheap.
They're not cheap. They're fancy stuff. But I will say their fragrances last forever on you. Mm-hmm. All of the Bond number nines I have, which this is only my third one, but they really, really last. And I think you can get a discount if you want to refill your bottle. You can just bring it to the store and they refill it for you.
Shit.
So that's kind of nice.
I only have two. That Andy Warhol one, I think Greenwich. And yeah, I love the wear. That's like one of those perfect wear things. Like it'll still be on your sweater the next day, but it's not going to like choke you out the entire day. I think they're great.
Yeah. They're great if you're the type of person who just wants a signature scent. Mm-hmm. They're great for that.
A lot of people in our DMs have asked, like, I really like Bond number 9 as a concept, but where the hell do I start? Because they truly do have such a library of scents. And some range from like you know, the classic perfume cologne mm-hmm. situations to like these newer guys, which I think are very, very interesting.
Yeah.
I would love to do an episode with them. I'm sure that's possible. And just sort of as a, I don't know, Bond number 9 101, like,
yeah,
how do I, you know, navigate your catalog?
They do divvy it up pretty well on their website. Mm-hmm. I will say you can shop by fragrance group,
yeah,
which is good. I think what I find most interesting is that they have so many scents, but they're all based on places in New York. And I'm like, y'all are running out of places. Y'all
gotta run out of places.
Yeah. So like,
I bet they haven't done a Hudson Yards one yet, but I'm sure that they will, just because they haven't yet.
Mm, have they?
I don't think so.
They definitely will.
They did Fide-Eye.
They did do Fide-Eye.
Please.
Well, what's funny is like they have Fide-Eye and they also have Wall Street. So it's granular.
Yeah.
It gets in there.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to get granular.
I'm like waiting. I'm like, I wonder if they're going to do like a Bedford Avenue one.
That'd be amazing.
Probably. Well, they have Brooklyn, which the notes sound really good. I haven't smelled it yet, though. So like you can break up Brooklyn a bit.
Come on. Yeah, that's true.
It's a real big borough. Anyway, our guest today was born of my inability to say the word Fidensides on a previous episode.
And here we are.
And here we are. We have the supplement brand, NewCo. We have the VP of product development who can tell us all about their functional fragrances. Or I guess like it's not aromatherapy, but it's like fragrance as a form of stress release.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stress relief. Sorry. And mental and emotional well-being.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to me.
They refer to it as like a supplement in the form of scent.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
And they actually back it up in a way that sells it through to me. I'm not like, okay, this is, you know, just marketing. Like it does when they speak about it make a lot of sense, which I think is great.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if anyone's going to argue for like the power of scent, it's definitely going to be us.
That's
so
true.
Like, we're
That's
like,
true.
Tell us more about your scent powered supplement.
The original, what they call functional fragrance, came out in 2018.
I think so. Yeah.
I thought it was like 2015. I thought it was
I thought it was a little early too, but you know what? I think 2018 just feels like ages ago, to be honest. True.
And I remember when functional fragrance came out, like everyone loved it. And I just kept hearing like, it's the one fragrance you need. You know, it was one of the ones that sort of smells different on everyone. So I was like, what the fuck is this? So I called it in. And it's lovely. Like, I think it's fantastic. And they just released a second called Forest Lungs, which you mm-hmm. have and really enjoy, correct? Mm-hmm. So their collection is growing. So we're very interested to learn more about it and sort of how it works and maybe what's next for them in terms of scent. If they're going to keep pursuing it, they probably will because they're both very successful.
Yeah. So,
okay. We're live. So my name is Flo and I am VP of product at the NewCo. For anyone who doesn't know the NewCo, we are a supplement business. We make products for your physical, emotional, social, and environmental well-being. We really believe that those are the four tenets of health and that we need to view health as a holistic system, which encompasses all of these different aspects of our health into kind of one function.
Awesome. What I thought was super interesting about, I was familiar with NewCo for a while when I was a beauty editor at Allure. The brand would send their products or I'd get their press releases. And then I was really surprised when you guys released a fragrance. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was super interesting that it was a fragrance that was intentional and functional, like not just for, you know, making yourself smell nice. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, was that always kind of in the NewCo thought process? Like, how did you guys come up with the idea for the functional fragrance?
Well, good question. In with the big one, because this is kind of shapes everything, I guess.
Yes.
So we didn't set out with the idea to make a functional fragrance. We have a very strict framework of how and why, I guess, we launch products. So Jules and I call it our need states framework. So for us, it is all of the different need states that encompass health. So those four kind of tenets of health that I mentioned, mm-hmm. Which we really see as sort of forming the basis for all health and all well-being. So those can be really, really broad. And what we then have underneath those specific need states. So for example, you'd have something like gut health. And then underneath gut health, you have all of the specific concerns that, you know, someone could be dealing with within the realm of gut health. So you've got things as far-reaching as bloating, constipation, slow digestion, heartburn, like mm-hmm. all of these different symptoms. And what we really saw, and definitely, you know, in the sort of 5 years ago, in the very early stages of the business, the market was very, very different. And you had a lot of products on the market that were things like a gut support supplement yeah. that just took this like blanket approach and didn't give you anything measurable or targeted to look at. And so, you know, two of the biggest issues within the supplement space are retention and brand loyalty. So mm-hmm. people kind of flip between lots of different brands and they tend to not stick to a routine for very long because they don't know what results to look for. So that comes back to this idea of these like blanket products. So what we really strive to do is to be really specific about what we are, what we're treating or what we're addressing for a customer. So in the case of gut health, and kind of easy example to talk about, in the case of, you know, bloating, for example, we have a product called DBloat Plus, and that is specifically for people who have a certain type of bloating. If you have, you know, slow digestion, we have a different product for you. If you have IBS, we have, you know, our best-selling pre and probiotic is literally designed for people with IBS. So we are able to get really specific about building a routine for you and telling you what results you're going to see, because we're not just creating these like blanket products. So when we kind of hone in on a particular need state, the most important thing, once we know, like, for example, we want to create a product for bloating, we will think about how that needs to be delivered. What do we, you know, what is the format that that product needs to be used in? And really, that's how we got to the idea of developing a functional fragrance. So we started with our kind of pillar of emotional health. And within that, we have stress and these kind of, you know, moments of heightened tension where you feel that you just need something to help you kind of take the edge off. And it was really interesting. Again, we launched this product, our first functional fragrance, back in, God, when was it? Late 2018, November 2018.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of the products that were out there on the market addressing that concern with things like, you know, CBD and those sorts of instant release products. And obviously, I'm not making any comparisons to functional fragrance and CBD. And, you know, we really wanted to create something that was an instant reset, like that kind of like take a breath reset moment. So that immediately ruled out things like a capsule or a powder, even a tincture. So you're looking at, you know, they've obviously got varying rates of absorption and sort of to be metabolized by the body. But, you know, you're looking at like half an hour on average, which doesn't give, you know, you've immediately lost that instant moment thing. Right. So very quickly, we landed on the idea of your sense of smell. So your olfactory system is one of the fastest ways to impact your emotional state. You know, there's so much amazing research behind your sense of smell, or so just not even research, just truth, because we all have so of, you know, of your five senses, your sense of smell is the only one to immediately sort of direct itself to these three key parts of your brain. So the prefrontal cortex, the hippocampus, and the amygdala. And these are where, you know, you have memories. It's how you regulate reactions. It's how you regulate emotions. And that was super interesting to us because it was just a different way of thinking about delivering a product. So we have, you know, in the early days of sort of speaking to people about this, we would sort of term it, I guess, like aromatherapy 2.0. So it was really important for us to, you know, to have real science behind this product. And, you know, I think from a consumer standpoint as well, delivering something like an anti-stress supplement, but in a format that they already use, they're already engaging with throughout their day. You know, most people are wearing fragrance. Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting way of approaching, from my standpoint, approaching product development and delivering a really innovative formula. Yeah, that was sort of the, sorry, very, very long-winded answer to quite a simple question.
No, please.
That's okay.
We love it.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it was very early on, we landed on this idea of a fragrance just because it was that instant way to reset and to deliver this benefit. But then the challenge came in finding, you know, the right people to work with. And the most important thing for us was that we created a product that wasn't, you know, very, very specifically was not as lovely as they can be, like an aromatherapy rollerball type thing, because right. that's just yeah. not something that our customer would engage with. And we are very strict with ourselves that we will never launch something if we feel like it's not really kind of doing something interesting in the market. You know, there's a right, lot yeah. of aromatherapy stress relieving rollerballs, and there are some lovely ones and there are some not so lovely ones. And, you know, we didn't want to just add to the mix in that category. We really wanted to do something with really robust science behind it, you know, had the potential to be quite disruptive in the industry.
After reading how it worked and what it was about, I was wondering why the choice was to make it a fragrance and not like a rollerball, or like, you know, I've seen even some little like vials where you just, it's almost like smelling salts yeah. where you just smell them. Yeah.
I actually love that idea. I'm yeah. quite into those like retro things. Maybe, you know, heard it here first. Maybe I'll make smelling salts.
So when you decided on a fragrance, how then did you go forward with choosing how it would smell? Because I imagine there's probably lots of directions you could have taken it in. I mean, thinking off the top of my head, when I think of calming and stress relieving things, like the tenets of aromatherapy always claim that like lavender is very soothing.
Yeah.
but functional fragrance is like not very lavendery at all. It's very woody and yeah. warm.
Yeah, that I think very purposely there is zero lavender in functional fragrance. So the kind of breakthrough moment for us was actually finding the partner to work on this fragrance with. So we worked with Firmenich, who are one of the like big four fragrance houses. Yeah. They are amazing. I mean, we were a really small business at this point in time with big ideas. And we found the most incredible champion for the brand in our account manager there, who has now moved on to a different company, but she's a huge long, long, long-term friend of both Jules and I's now. And so shout out to Asha. She's probably listening. And she really believed in what we were doing and kind of took a chance on us and loved the idea. And yeah, we really went from there. It was us sort of pitching this pretty wacky concept. So, you know, these guys are working with like the biggest of the big, and these two people roll in being like, we want to make an anti-stress supplement in the form of a fragrance with real science behind it. Like, they could have just been like, who on earth are they? But, you know, they really saw merit in the idea, and total credit to them that they took a chance on it when it was just a seed of an idea. And it's obviously become, you know, a huge part of our business. And I think the category of functional fragrance, you know, we really spearheaded that. And, you know, it's kind of taken on a life of its own, which is fantastic. So we, yeah, approached them with this idea, and then the next kind of huge, you know, shout out to Asha for this, it was finding an incredible perfumer to work on it with.
Right.
So the nose behind this fragrance is an amazing, amazing man called Frank Vogel, he's a very famous perfumer. He's actually the nose behind Le Labo's Santal 33 as well.
Oh, we know. Yeah.
Oh, you know, there yes. we go. And I think also, yeah, a couple of really other like amazing, amazing fragrances that have kind of become iconic, obviously functional fragrance included. And yeah, he again took the idea to him, and he is like the most French man in the world. And, we couldn't really tell if he like hated it or loved it. He loved it, but we just couldn't read it. And then, yeah, it was about working with the technology that their research and development team had, you know, had rumbling on in the background, because they've obviously got the capacity for this sort of thing for years and years and years. So the real backbone behind functional fragrance is a big piece of research called the Geneva Odor and Emotion Scale. So this was the first sort of systematic review. It took place over about 5 years, that looked at both the psychological and the physiological impact of scent. So how did scent make us feel? How did scent literally impact our brain function? And this was recorded in, I think, off the top of my head, I think it was 18 countries around the world. And you know, across a really, really broad reach of sort of different socioeconomic groups.
Wow.
And the results, incredibly, were the same.
Wow.
And it was these, you know, regardless of status or country or whatever it was, people responding emotionally and, you know, in neural imaging processing, it was seen literally that what was showing up in their brains was the same. So I'm getting to the point about lavender. So what we found super interesting when we kind of had this research presented to us was that we could basically tap into using all of the notes in, you know, that we wanted to put into this fragrance. We could pull them from this category, which they deemed like relaxing, stress relieving, all of those kind of buzzwords, which, you know, the people during the trials had provided and kind of categorized these scents themselves, which was then obviously backed up by the neural image processing. And we found, amazingly, most of these fragrances are very woody and kind of, I describe them as quite like dense, almost sort of like, I'm describing this horribly, it sounds like a disgusting fragrance, like almost kind of like damp. It's almost that earthiness.
Yes, yeah.
And then interestingly, there's a very, very light musky note in there, which we were told in one of our smelling sessions that there's a particular note within breast milk, which has got a very similar molecular profile to certain musks. And that is why, again, this musk has this like, just, and anyone, you know, you cannot like the smell of like musky fragrances or musk, and you just have this like, oh, I just want to smell it again kind of feeling.
Comfort. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's this, again, very, very primal feeling of comfort and sort of reassuring. And so it was really interesting to work with, you know, the experts to be able to kind of throw our ideas on the table and then them come back to us with these different, I guess, applications of this technology. And yeah, the result was definitely a long time in the making. We worked on the fragrance for close to just about 10 months of back and forwards, which in the fragrance world can be quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but the result was strangely so far from what we thought it would be, but it was also absolutely perfect. We both knew that when, you know, when we smelt the last submission, which is the fragrance we went with, and it was really at like the tweaking stages by that point, we both almost burst into tears. It was just most amazing moment. Yes. Yeah, so like super emotional and just like such an exciting journey. And funnily, both Jules and I are on the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of like how we respond to scent, I think is the nicest way to put it. So I'm like unbelievably sensitive to smell, sensitive to scents. So my husband was probably the most embarrassed he's ever been of me, but I once had to move seats on a plane because I could smell the guy sitting next to me's deodorant so strongly that it was like giving me a headache. Ugh. See, everyone's been there. People, yeah. It's very, very strong.
Absolutely.
And
especially on a plane.
Especially on a plane. Thank you. I'm very, very picky about fragrance. I can wear like one spray of like maybe two max if it's quite like a light fragrance. And Jules is on the other end of the spectrum. So she's like, which, you know, everyone's different. She's a kind of 10 spritz type person, maybe three times. Yeah. And so I think between us, because we're so opposite, it's the perfect balancing act. And we definitely have more fun kind of, I guess, balancing each other out with our second functional fragrance, Forest Lungs, that we launched just at the end of last year. Because we kind of could, you know, she could push me to be like, we have to make this a bit stronger or a bit punchier. And I have to be like, this is way too punchy, we need to take it down. Yeah. But I think the end is probably the sort of sweet spot for most customers.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when Forest Lungs came out because, I mean, as far as functional fragrances go, I'm like, wasn't the function covered by the first one? Is there something to be like, you know, maybe we're getting a little something extra with the second one. Mm-hmm. I tend to think they're both kind of like the same intensity. It's just a different vibe.
And they're both pretty woody too. It's interesting to me that Forest Lungs, which is gorgeous, was the second fragrance because the first one started off as like you said, pretty woody and earthy and damp as well. So I found Forest Lungs to be like a cool, interesting, but different take on sort of maybe a similar idea.
Yeah, I guess it, you know, with all of our products, it starts with health, it starts with the function. And we both see these products as anti-stress supplements. And both of them do have a similar function in that they are addressing stress. And I think that we've actually had this feedback a bit of like, you know, when's the next version going to come out? What's the next function going to be? And I think what we, you know, we didn't plan it this way to have two, I guess, anti-stress supplements. But what is very, very different about Forest Lungs is the technology behind it. And it also has a much kind of bigger, I guess, intention. So whereas functional fragrance, you know, really started from this point of like, we want to deliver a format which is going to impact and relieve stress as fast as possible. With Forest Lungs, it was about the idea of medicalizing nature. So we we work very closely with lots of different kind of trend and market research bodies. And we were really seeing in, I think it must have been sort of early 2019, this huge surge in, you know, research and writing about the idea of forest bathing and green therapies. And we started to see a lot of fascinating research about actually the NHS here in the UK just earlier this year, or actually, sorry, late last year. I keep forgetting what year we're in. they actually pledged, I think it was close to £6 million to support green therapies for people.
Wow, that's incredible.
For people who were working through, you know, mental health issues, who were in sort of different facilities and things like that. So it's really being seen as, and you know, this is so exciting for us when we start to see these types of things happening in the mainstream, because it really shows that we are making strides forward to, you know, looking at our health as an ecosystem and looking at how the environment affects us and how much our minds need, you know, green space and these sort of physical surroundings. But what was really exciting was that we found this incredible technology, which we work with Givaudan on Forest Lungs, who again, one of the kind of big four fragrances. Very, very, very lucky with our partners. And they had, they presented to us this absolutely mind-blowing research. So we were kind of primed, because it's what, you know, Jules and I are always working on, just absorbing and being so curious about what is around us and like how these, you know, seemingly disparate trends are going to kind of coincide and collide and actually, you know, enable us to find an application for them within the health and wellness space. And yeah, we were presented this research, which they had found a way to basically replicate, create these things called phytoncides.
So that's how you say it. I never knew that word.
Yeah, phytoncides, which are these volatile organic compounds which are released by trees. So when we talk about, you know, all of these benefits of forest bathing or, you know, spending time in nature, there is evidence to suggest that the positive impacts associated with these behaviors can be attributed to these things called phytoncides. And they are basically pumped out by trees nonstop, and they are that they're part of the tree's natural defense system. And there's evidence to suggest that, you know, our bodies can kind of interact with these volatile organic compounds. And again, there's incredible research about this, which is, you know, super readily available to access to anyone if you fancy doing some digging. And they can boost the production of things called natural killer cells in our bodies, which are basically the backbone to our immune system. They have also been proven to reduce stress levels, reduce anxiety. And again, it's, you know, this is such early stage research, but you know, we know, anyone knows, you feel better from spending time outside.
Right.
And there is a high likelihood it is because of these compounds being released by trees. You know, we spend, as our generation now, we spend more time inside sitting down than anyone, any generation ever before. Mm-hmm. And there's a terrifying statistic from the Environmental Protection Agency that the average American spends 94% of their time inside or in a car or in an office. And that was pre-COVID stats. So, you know, that is, it's so depressing. And, you know, we live these very, I guess, like industrialized lives.
Yeah.
And I think we've become so, again, one of the things that we talk a lot about with this idea of the kind of ecosystem of health is connection, and the connection between all these different tenets of our health, but also our connection and our interaction and understanding the fact that the health of our planet, the health of our environment is so wound up with our health. And we have become so disconnected from it. So, you know, forest lungs, we are not saying that, you know, use forest lungs and never go outside again. It is about helping to re-foster your connection with nature. And again, we were able to do our own consumer trials on this fragrance and kind of obviously from that be able to make claims against stress reduction. So we had amazing results from our consumer trials with this product. And we found that 98% of people felt less stressed within 30 minutes of using forest lungs. But interestingly, we actually had them continue the trial for a month. And the results after a month were amazing. And we had some really amazing stories anecdotally from customers who were part of the trial and then who went on to kind of become hardcore customers afterwards.
Oh, wow.
That they had, you know, used forest lungs as part of a kind of treatment plan for helping to relieve highly anxious situations for them. So kind of, you know, for some people, it would be things like panic attacks. For some people, it would be just feeling like super, super, super tense. And it became part of like a toolkit for them. And that is actually, if you, you know, if you speak to any psychologists about this, the idea is that you need to have a toolkit to deal with periods of high stress or periods of high anxiety. And actually, we love the idea that people are actively going out and finding either functional fragrance or forest lungs and using it as part of their, I guess, emotional well-being toolkit. And really that, for me, underpins everything that we ever, ever could have started out to dream of achieving with a functional fragrance. It is literally a product that is a pleasure to use that is delivering a function. So yeah, it doesn't get better than that.
Wow. Could we quickly touch on what forest bathing is, just in case the listeners at home don't know? And by that, I mean, I have no idea what that means.
So, of course. So forest bathing, it actually comes from, it sort of stems from Japanese culture. And I'm not going to remember the dates off the top of my head, but there was a huge drive. And actually, just side note, in Japan, they have the most incredible forward-thinking approach to this idea of, again, medicalizing nature. And they have, I think it's called the Living Hospital, or like the Living Green Hospital or something. And they have this hospital, which has literally got like a huge living wall up like an 18-story building. And there is a garden where all the food is sort of biodynamically grown, which is then, you know, fed to the people who are in hospital. And there are endless kind of like courtyard gardens within the building, which they can go and sit and kind of recuperate in. But it's literally part of a treatment plan that, you know, if you have gone in for X, you have to spend time in nature as part of your recovery program. So just side note on how forward-thinking Japanese healthcare is. But in about, I think it was around 1984, there was this, you know, more and more and more people in Japan were moving to cities and were getting really burnt out. And this sort of, I guess, like stress epidemic was occurring. And at the same time, they were sort of establishing some of the earliest sort of like national parks. And the idea was that to get people to the national parks, it sort of happened in tandem that they were able to give these people who were coming to their doctors being like, I'm super stressed, my job is awful and blah, 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 a treatment plan that they would get like a green prescription, which is, I mean, how late are we in the UK and yeah, in the US as well, that the idea of green prescriptions has only just occurred or started to occur in 2020. But they would get this, you know, prescription to spend X amount of time in nature. And they would then leave the cities and go back to these kind of like newly formed national parks and would be prescribed like 4 hours walking in the woods. Wow. And there's a much more I'm really dumbing it down. There's a much more complicated side to it, which is, you know, there are some sort of like almost ceremonial aspects to it. But essentially the idea is bathing yourself in the benefits of the forest, spending time in nature and absorbing all the beauty and wonder around you. Mm. And then they started to see that, you know, really recording the results. And that is when, you know, as early as the sort of, early 80s, they started recording the data of kind of stress reduction. And those studies have really continued until, well, they're going on now still, but continued till very recently.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. The connection to nature is, I feel like just now everyone's beginning to realize the real medical benefits of it. Whereas, you know, when I think of like hippies in the 60s and 70s, when they were like already on it and they were saying, yeah, nature is a great healer. And I was like, no, that's just alternative.
Yeah, I know. I think it, you know, I repeat this phrase endlessly, but it always comes back to connection. And we, you know, again, we're the first generation, well, large group generation to do all of our work at a laptop, to stare at a screen all day, to sit down all day, you know. Our grandparents were doing, most people had physical jobs and we don't do anything like that. So, you know, that's a whole nother conversation of how sedentary our lifestyles are, but we don't have this connection to understanding things as simple as where our food comes from or, you know, how to identify plants. And I know that sounds like really crazy, but this is information which is passed down through generations. And if the generation before us don't know how to identify plants, then what's going to happen to the generation after us?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea how to identify plants, so it's already happening.
I mean, neither do I. Don't worry, don't feel bad about it. But it just comes back to this idea of the connection and the health of our planet. And you don't, you know, no one needs to be able to go out and be like, oh, a yellow spotted dogwood or whatever a flower is called. but they do need to have an idea of understanding that their health is intrinsically connected to the health of the planet. And that is something that we believe so important. So strongly that not only when, you know, and I think we've seen it in the last year, we've been kind of catapulted through probably 5-10 years in normal times of like development and idea sort of starting to percolate through society. But yeah, we've been catapulted into this sort of sudden realization that our community is our health and our planet is our health, and our health is more than just how you feel or, you know, how your body operates on a day-to-day basis. It's also how your mind feels, and it's all of these different facets. And, you know, that is something again that, you know, 4 years ago when we started talking about this, people were like, yeah, sure. And we did our first, we called the campaign How Are You Really? And we did like a huge painted mural on, I can't remember what the corner of the street was now, but it was like right in the heart of Soho in New York. And then we had multiple billboards up in different parts of Brooklyn and then over in on the West Coast in various places as well. And the idea was literally stop and ask yourself, how are you really? And it was striving to educate and kind of awaken people to this idea that your health, there is no health without mental health. And again, we did that campaign in late 2018. And now we fast forward to, you know, the last year, everyone is talking about mental health.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Which is fantastic. I think the more that we can open up conversations around our emotional health, our mental health, and how that just comes into our overall well-being, that's brilliant. But, you know, in the context of health, it was seen, you know, it is very stark to remember that like 3 years ago, people were seeing those as separate functions. Yeah. Like they had a line down the middle. You had mental health and you had your like physical your wellness health. Or your physical mm-hmm. health or whatever. Yeah. And you know, we've kind of gone through a whole cycle in the last few years, which is great. And the more people that can, you know, be aware of that and be aware of the fact that your emotional health is tied up with your overall health, as is your environmental health and mm-hmm. your community health and your social health. It's all part of one picture.
Well, what's interesting to me is that now in our age of, I guess I call it wellness capitalism, just because the big,
oh yeah, I love
wellness,
that.
Yeah. The big boom of wellness interest has, you know, just led to the production of more things you can buy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's always approaching wellness from like a lack mentality where like, if yep. you're feeling bad, here's what you need, as opposed to here's like fundamental things you can do to change your lifestyle so you can always maintain a sense of well-being.
Totally.
Oh my God, I could yeah. not agree with you more. And I think that that is actually really where we came from with the, when we did the first How You Really campaign mm. in 2018, it was actually, it was kind of like our response, I guess, to the mainstream wellness industry, which we felt for so long. And this is something that Jules, our founder, speaks so passionately about. It's really rooted in this idea of like fear and not enough and these like negative cycles, exactly as you said. And yes, it's selling another yes. solution to another yeah. problem. And actually, that is really damaging to your mental health. And that was why it was so important for us to be like, hang on a second, guys. Mm-hmm. This is all part of one picture. So why are we like creating negative thought cycles?
Right.
To try and achieve better wellness? Like yeah. it makes no sense. So, you know, we really wanted to just like stop the conversation, or actually, I guess we wanted to start a conversation yeah. about, you know, why these things were so important, and actually having people just open up about it. And again, it sounds like super obvious now because of the year we're in, but in 2018 it was like, oh, hang on, this is all part of one thing. And I think that, you know, because for us that it didn't coincide with any kind of product launch or anything, it really was just about us kind of putting our heads above the parapet and being like,
yeah, what's the bigger picture here?
We don't think this is totally right. And I think it was because it came from a place of real authenticity. And, you know, it really is what we've believed from day one. Whereas, yeah, I think there is probably a sense of, I like your term, wellness capitalism, which is coming through now, of just, you know, we see it, I guess, unfortunately, with so many different things that you can always sell a
sell a solution at all costs.
I know, which is, it's really hard, because I think that, again, one of the most important things with what we want to do as a bigger picture of thing at the NewCo is help, you know, one of the most powerful things you can have as part of your health toolkit is knowledge. And whether that's just thinking about things in a different way, taking a different approach to, you know, how you respond to stress, or you know, how you, maybe it's something like functional fragrance, maybe it's around product education, right. or maybe it is around your larger health picture of like how all these things interconnect. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to buy something. If we can just be there as part of the, you know, a kind of tool for you, an educational tool along the way, that's fantastic. And we've, you know, that is one of the things that we want to achieve the most, is being an important kind of point on people's journeys as they explore and learn about their health and kind of take ownership of it.
Yeah. I know you mentioned that Forest Lungs contains phytoncides, which yes. is kind of like the main active component. Is there something similar in the original functional fragrance?
No. So the original functional fragrance is really focusing on these particular notes that came out when we were reviewing this research from the Geneva Odor and Emotion Scale.
Okay.
So this was about like the families of scent and how they work on different neural pathways to deliver a reaction. And that reaction is feelings of grounding and calm and relaxation. And then Forest Lungs is about, it is again, the benefit we deliver with that product is anti-stress and kind of, again, this idea of like resetting, calming. But the tool that we are using to deliver that benefit is this incredible phytoncides technology. And then we obviously have kind of to build the story around the fragrance as well. We have different notes in there as well.
Do you think that there are other fragrances that could, you know, I guess with more research, when you discover how different scents affect different parts of your mind, like, do you think, or are you open to creating more fragrances like that?
Do you know what was really funny? When we launched the first functional fragrance, everyone asked us, be like, oh, so is there another one coming? When's the next one? And we were like, no, we're only ever going to launch this one. This is it. And lo and behold, Forest Lungs arrives. And we will be adding to the collection, just because it is one of our most requested, or it's one of our best-selling products. And I think different ideations within this category of functional fragrance is one of our, again, most requested kind of offerings. And I think it is, you know, we really are recognized as having sort of delivered something quite interesting in the space. You know, our customers obviously want to see more of it, and we want to continue to create cool things in these formats. So yeah, we do have something new coming towards the end of this year. So watch this space.
That's so exciting. When you launched functional fragrance, since it was and is sort of the first of its kind, I would almost venture to say, like a new technology, we know it's super successful, but how did your consumers respond to the idea of like a supplement that you can wear and smell? Did you find that they approached it as a fragrance first or a supplement first, or did it vary by person in need?
That's a great question. So when we launched functional fragrance, we were like totally prepared for having to do the, so this is an anti-stress supplement in the form of a fragrance. This is how you use it. And we just didn't have to. Our customer was so ready for it. And I think the reason for that is, again, because to kind of cycle back to the need states that I was discussing when we first started chatting, because all of our product development comes from this framework, there's no, like, even if it seems like a curveball, it makes sense because it has a function. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, you know, it was kind of left field, but it made sense because it worked within our product matrix and in the area that we operate in. Then in terms of how it sold, I guess, we were absolutely fascinated because we basically sold most of our stock before anyone had been able to smell it at all.
Wow.
So people, we had a lot of pushback in, you know, before we launched this product, from kindly suggestions from people saying, like, you're going to have to get samples out because no one's going to buy us fragrance online. And at that time we didn't have any physical footprint. We were just operating through our website and with some wholesale partners. And we just didn't have that issue because people bought it for the function and they didn't approach it at all as a fragrance or like a traditional fragrance. They bought it on the idea that it was an anti-stress supplement. And it was something that we saw again with the launch of Forest Lungs, obviously, you know, kind of 2 years on, we're a bit of a different point as a brand. Forest Lungs has really took all of us kind of by surprise. So we actually sold out of Forest Lungs before we even launched it.
Wow.
We sold out in 10 days of pre-sale. And that was, again, because of COVID, all of our samples were delayed. And so literally no one had smelt it. So there wasn't even a tiny sample to go around. Wow. There was nothing. So I think, you know, that really was, I mean, possibly a bit of an operational nightmare, but it really did serve to validate that, you know, we can really, historically, and I know you guys obviously will know from speaking to so many brands in the space, but also from kind of being in the industry, it's really hard to sell fragrance online. Like it really, really hard. It just doesn't perform. And it's literally the reverse for us because we, in the case of Forest Lungs, we literally can't keep in stock. And it's because people are buying it for the function. And then the scent is the sort of secondary story.
Wow.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
People really, I remember when functional fragrance launched, people really went crazy for
it. They did.
I just kept hearing like, it's the one fragrance you need. It smells a little different on everyone. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that it just speaks like so highly to your product, both as a scent and, you know, literally as a supplement.
Thank you. That's so kind. I do. Yeah. When we launched that product, we did have, it did, I mean, obviously it's a bit skewed when you're inside it, but it really did feel like it. People were like, whoa, this is so crazy.
Right.
And we're kind of known for, I'm sure you guys have probably been to some of our launch parties from like a press standpoint. We had like a wild launch party for functional fragrance and we called it the treatment rooms. And it was our take on like a traditional kind of like spa. We partnered with Heisnobiety for the party and it got so out of control.
Oh my gosh.
We had this woman doing gold seed ear acupuncture, which is amazing. And it's such a nice thing to do if you've never done it. And you kind of like leave these gold beads in your ear for like a few days and they are on certain acupressure points.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
It's really, yeah, it was really cool. But then if you leave them in for too long, they leave like black marks on your ear. So just be warned, because I did that. And then we had this guy doing like traditional Tabori tattoos, which was this idea, again, I kind of go off in these like research tangents, that very, very, very early examples of kind of like mummified bodies that were found in certain parts of the world seemed to have tattooed points that related to certain acupuncture lines. And so there's this whole like super interesting thing that tattooing can act in certain ways as acupuncture if you do it on certain acupuncture lines. I'm sure an acupuncturist would disagree with me, but there's a lot of reading out there. And yeah, then we had like this kind of wild mezcal bar and things. You guys missed it. It was a good party.
You know what? I'm betting that probably our wellness editor, when I was at Alora's, invited to that, and I was not.
Well, they got lucky. Someone always gets a massive tattoo at one of our parties.
Yes.
When you offer free tattoos because they're so expensive, anyone's like, yep.
Yeah, but like big tattoos after like quite a few drinks and you're like, you can't come back and like,
this is legal. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. So yeah, that was the launch party for functional fragrance. Sadly, we weren't able to have one for Forest Lungs.
Well, the third one, now there's a build up.
And we'll be there. I'll be getting a tattoo.
I'll make sure you guys get an invite for
Please.
Sure.
Have you guys experienced a lot of people or anyone at all kind of claiming or calling either of your fragrances like aromatherapy? Like, have you sort of figured out a way to speak around that, or has that not been an issue?
Because I thought that's what they were.
I would say it hasn't really been an issue, to be honest, because I think it's so clear when you land on our site, when you speak to one of our team, that it's not aromatherapy. You know, the storytelling behind the ingredients, it says everywhere that fine fragrance. So I don't think there is a huge amount of confusion. I think when we launched the first functional fragrance, we were very clear that, you know, we saw this as like aromatherapy 2.0. So, you know, I personally love aromatherapy. I think it's a really nice practice. But, you know, just again, going back to like our customer, they're not going to use an aromatherapy rollerball as lovely as it will be.
Yeah.
They're not going to pull that out in the middle of a meeting or like in an elevator when they're between things or like rushing somewhere. They're not going to do that, but they will use a fragrance which makes them feel better and, you know, makes them feel better from the idea they're applying like a nice to use product, but also is actually working on their issue and is proven to work on their issue. So it's making them feel less stressed. You know, we have like the odd customer who's like, oh, I thought this was just going to be like an aromatherapy blend.
Right, yeah.
But it's so few and far between that I think, you know, hats off to our marketing team. They do a brilliant job of kind of telling the story of the product and bringing it together. So yeah, I don't think that we have much confusion around that because there is so much more to talk about with those products than, you know, some of the ingredients obviously are essential oils, but we would not term it an aromatherapy product.
Sure.
Yeah. That was not my initial impression of the product, but my brain is constantly thinking in like headlines and stuff. So I'm like, I'm sure so many people are like, oh, it's like fancy aromatherapy. Like, ugh.
Yeah, I think we actually had the line like, this is aromatherapy 2.0. Yeah. And we're like, oh, that's quite cool. We'll use that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we are so excited for whatever new fragrances you guys come out with.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that we were able to talk to you guys because I think what you're doing is really interesting. And I honestly think it's opening up to everybody the potential for what scent can be and its effects on all parts of your life.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, thank you guys. It was really lovely to chat with you. I'm sorry that I basically spoke the whole time.
That was the entire point.
That's why we're here. Yeah, it's all good. And
if it's the other way around, it's not a great episode.
Yeah, exactly. They get a lot of us already.
Yeah. So. I fucking knew she was going to say it was Frank Vogel.
Oh my God.
Do you remember the first time I mentioned this fragrance? I was like, oh, it smells like Santal 33. And I told you that and you were like, no. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
So when she said Frank Vogel, I was just like,
that's so funny. We cannot escape him.
No.
I will say that Frank Vogel has a style. I mean, between.
Well, he's got a signature style now.
Yeah. Between Santal 33, Glossier U.
Yeah.
And some other things.
Surely he's done other things.
Right. Do you know the Olfactory NYC, that place where you can make us like sort of custom fragrance?
Yeah,
you were going to go with me, but then got sick. Mm-hmm. He has one fragrance there too that he did custom for them. And you smell it and you're like, yeah, I can see it.
Wow.
And that one, I think out of those other two, I really liked the one he did for Olfactory NYC. Oh. It's a really like fresh, lovely, but you smell it and it's like, oh, this is Frank. I don't get that from Nuco's functional fragrance in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, I do... like it's not my everyday, but I like the scent, but it's a little like heavier and deeper.
It's than definitely
what he usually does.
Stickier to me.
Yep.
Like the functional fragrance is sweeter and it has a little bit more depth and it's softer than Santal 33 to me.
Yeah. Frank's work always to me smells like musk and static.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah, static. That's a great one. Mm-hmm. I feel like a couple niche brands try to capture that electric, like static electricity scent. Like Dias and Durga does it in their Via Volta. It's such a polarizing note. Like it's so hit or miss because it does kind of have that nose crinkly feeling when you encounter static electricity. It's cool.
They're about to drop something new too.
The Dylan one?
No, they teased it today. They were like, if you can guess the note in our next drop.
Okay.
Like, okay.
I have yet to go to their Williamsburg store, but maybe I'll smell it. But yeah, as soon as she said the Permaniche, I'm like, is he the only perfumer?
There are truly like three perfumers alive today. We've already spoken to one of them.
I know. What's interesting is that Forest Lungs to me smells so much like Aesop Quill, which is one of my favorite scents. So I was like, oh, I wonder. Well, actually, Aesop has their own in-house perfumer, Barnaby Filion.
How do you know that?
Oh, I did a story about them. I did a story for Harper's and I talked to Aesop and then I was going to feature one of their scents. I think I did actually feature Quill, but they were like, would you like to feature our newer scent, Rosu? And I was like, I'll try. And that actually smells a lot like Quill as well.
That's so funny. I love when I'm covering a scent that is maybe not the newest from a collection and the publicist hits you back and you're like, thank you so much for like the placement for this. Do you want to cover what's actually available and new, like discontinued? I'm like, not especially. Thank you.
It's like, I would have said that if I wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
But thank you. But yeah, Aesop Quill is one of my favorites and Forest Lungs does smell very similar to it. But again, a little wetter, a little more alive and less like dry wood.
Yeah.
So, and I think they're also a lot less expensive than the Aesop one.
Yeah.
So it's nice to know. It's like, oh, okay, this is less expensive and I get like the health benefits of the fine science. So it's cool.
Aesop scents to me smell like the memory of a wealthy boy.
Ah, yes. It's a little, I feel like a lot of boys who are into skincare, a lot of wealthy boys who are into skincare to me and they just use Aesop skincare. I'm just like, oh, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
Right. You just know wealth. That's it.
Such a good way to put it.
I mean, like Aesop is a beautiful brand and I aspire to have their body products in my shower at all times because their hand soap is just like the best smelling hand soap, but it's also very expensive. So Yeah, but the few skincare products I've tried from them are just so rich and thick that I'm like, my pores. No.
That's how I feel about Tata Harper.
Yeah. Anyone who leans on essential oils in their skincare, I'm like...
And you can like tell when... I don't dislike her stuff, but it's just too heavy for me. And I always look greasy whenever I wear Tata Harper stuff.
Yeah.
They're sending me to launch.
The essential oils are rich in that one.
Yeah.
Yes. The force is strong. Yeah. But yeah, these are two really lovely scents that... I also think that because they're meant to elicit a certain effect, it's kind of like a placebo effect.
Yeah.
Because you're taking the time to spray this on and to deep breathe and inhale, like the fact that you're kind of like taking care of yourself as well as indulging in scent is automatically going to make you feel better.
Yeah. I mean, it is certainly an exercise in like being present, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. But I wonder if they're going to come out with a scent that's like, for your libido.
Totally see that.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah.
The Viagra of perfume.
God.
I could see the headlines now.
I really love the components of the bottle, specifically for our slongs. I think that like rich green, I think everything is beautiful about it.
Yeah, same. I like them.
That's like almost what I'm just as curious about how the bottle is going to look, even just color wise, as I am about the next
one. I don't know why in my brain I was like, the next one's going to be red.
Oh, I thought it was going to be blue.
Oh, ooh. I could see like a really lovely sapphire blue. Yes.
Now we're just giving them ideas yet again.
Ocean therapy. Give it to me. I want it. Well, I hope you guys learned a lot of things, including the correct pronunciation of fightensides.
Did we learn it?
Yeah, I was like, correcting myself. That is our episode for today.
Follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3. You can follow me at Tynanbuck.
And I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
We would love it if you would hit us with a 5-star review and maybe a cute comment or whatever, but no pressure.
Just an emoji.
Yeah, just an emoji. That's all we need. Until next time, we will smell you later.
Smell you later.